We'll hear argument now in the case of United States against Bell. Mr. Beavers.
May it please the court. Doug Beavers on behalf of Mr. Bell. The most important issue in this case of the greatest impact is, I believe, the standard of review, whether a sentencing judge can avoid difficult legal issues simply by saying that he or she would have given the same sentence regardless of what the legal ruling would be. In the case of regular Chapter 1 through 6 sentencing guidelines issues, United States v. Scott has held that any errors in those calculations require reversal. The government contends that a different rule should apply for the Chapter 7 guidelines for supervised release violations. But the government gives no reason for that.
I don't understand this different rule business. I mean, back in the days before Booker, we had a rule that if the district judge said, it just doesn't make any difference whether I give you four levels for being a leader or not, my sentence will be unaffected. That if the judge said that, that made it quite irrelevant to discuss whether or not the defendant got 2 points or 4 points for being a leader. Why isn't this the same proposition? The judge says, I'm going to give you 20 months as a matter of discretion, whether or not it's legally required for me to give you 20 months.
Well, because for one reason is I think that it's almost impossible to separate what the judge is actually believing from what the judge is believing subconsciously, whether that did in fact affect the discretion.
Oh, goodness. You don't want to make that argument, because the next thing you would say is, gee, I want to show you the district judge read an editorial in the New York Times. The editorial contained a legal error, and that may have subconsciously affected the judge, and therefore I want you to tell us whether the New York Times was correct.
Well, I think the policy issue is also significant, that because...
If he says it won't make any difference, how would we demonstrate that he didn't really believe that?
Well, that's what I think the problem with
the
government's
argument. It's impossible. It's a a problem with no solution at all.
Well,
we have to take him at his word, don't we, under normal circumstances?
That's correct. And
so what makes this different from normal circumstances? We take him at his word or we don't?
Well, because in the case of a legal ruling on the range of sentencing...
He says it doesn't make a particle of difference to me, one way or another. No matter what happened, this is a sentence I would have given because I think it's appropriate. Why shouldn't we believe that?
I would say you could believe it, but the problem is whether it needs to be reversed anyway for errors, because the defendant should have a right to have correctly calculated guideline sentence.
Oh, no. We got away from that. The correctly guideline sentence is still a guideline. He says, I don't care what they say. I listen to them. I realize they're on the guidelines, and I don't think this is my sentence. I think it's entirely reasonable. We'd have to find that was unreasonable, not that his thinking was unreasonable, wouldn't we?
That it was unreasonable to go...
No, that the sentence was unreasonable.
I think the argument is that if the judge incorrectly interprets the law as to what the guidelines are, that...
But if he says the guidelines, which are advisory only, and he's aware of, no matter what the guidelines advised him, this is what he thinks is true, and this is what we have to work with.
Suppose the judge states during sentencing, I am firmly convinced that the slaughterhouse cases are wrongly decided, but that's completely irrelevant to the sentence I'm giving today, 20 months. Could you appeal and say, Dear Court of Appeals, we need you to decide whether the slaughterhouse cases were correctly decided.
No, because it's not part of the statutory sentencing structure.
Yeah, well, judge said here, this whether or not there is a 20-month mandatory minimum doesn't matter in the end. Just as in my hypothetical, the judge said whether the slaughterhouse cases were correctly decided doesn't matter.
Well, that would give any judge the ability to avoid every guideline issue that existed. And that would create a very
Unless there's an argument that it does matter, right? If Judge Scott had wanted to give a 15-month sentence, then we would have to decide whether there was a mandatory minimum at 20. But if Judge Scott didn't want to give a sentence less than 20, we don't need to decide whether there's a mandatory minimum at 20. And that just seems perfectly straightforward.
Well, I think the judge's statement as to what would have happened if there was a different ruling is a hypothetical statement, which is not directly of any impact in the case after the judge makes the decision.
Mr. Hartzler.
I'm pleased that the court appears to have identified the issue that I wanted to discuss, and it sounds to me as though you're on the track that I wanted to pursue. I think this is a case that can be
resolved.
Do you
think we should overrule the slaughterhouse cases?
Not quite. Not exactly. No, I think that I wanted to point out that the opening brief and the responsive brief, reply brief, both cite to this court's decision in Scott, indicating that harmless error has disappeared post-Booker, and I believe both Booker and the Palladino line of cases indicate that harmless error is still alive and kicking, and this is one case in which it can be resolved based on harmless error, though I also think it can be resolved on the merits because it's...
I don't even understand what harmless error would have to do with this. Harmless dictum was... Right? The district court gave two reasons for her decision. One, there's a statutory minimum at 20 months. Two, 20 months is what I would give regardless of my answer to question one. Right? So number two says, I now agree that number one is dicta. We don't refer to dicta as erroneous or not. It's just, well, it's dicta.
Fair enough. I wish I thought of that myself. Yes.
Well, now you can claim it. Go ahead.
There are no further questions. I'll rely on our brief for the other issues. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Hartzler. Anything further, Mr. Beavers?
Your Honor, I think the court could resolve this in multiple different ways. I do think there is an important... There's an important public policy issue as to whether the minimum mandatory applies, and the court could easily choose to address that issue instead of the other issue, and I think that that would be consistent with the goal of appellate review of sentencing.
No, we take the easy way out every time.
It's the usual siren song of somebody who wants an advisory opinion. Now, here's an important question of public policy. George Washington says, should I receive the ambassador from France? And the justices say, excuse me, that's advisory.
Put us down as lazy and let it go at that.
I agree it would be a lot easier method. It would be a lot easier issue than the other issues. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much, counsel. The case is taken under advisement.